Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I've entitled this afternoon's message, Jesus Told Us So. Jesus Told Us So. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 24. Many of you are familiar with Matthew 24. And we're going to expound verses 32 through 35. Are you there? I got the word on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible in. Here we go. And it reads, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, and you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Praise God. We're going to look at what this pertains to in just a moment. We're going to go to it. We're going to dissect this. Amen. Now, in Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I need you to catch this. In other words, what Jesus spoke is in the spirit of prophecy. It's right up here in Revelation. Look at this. "And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." This is one of the elders in heaven speaking to John the Revelator. And look at this. "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." There it is. It's in the Word. I just didn't make it up. We're going to back everything up in the Word. Can I get amen? Because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything that he prophesied will come to pass. 100% of it will. And so we need to take a close look of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ spoke out in the spirit of prophecy. Jesus prophesied what amazing future events and this Olivet discourse would take place in our generation. Our generation. Moses prophesied that God was going to raise up a prophet for our last generation. Praise God. And you know Moses, "Let my people go." But he wrote about Jesus, who in our day and time would be the last prophet being raised up before he would come and return, and we would go into the millennial reign. So it's found right here in Deuteronomy. Look at this. Deuteronomy 18:17. "And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren and put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." And then Jesus had a forerunner. Who was the forerunner? John. John the Baptist. Look at this. Remember, his whole cry was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And he paved the way for the Messiah to come. And John the Baptist was asked if he was the prophet that Moses said would come, and he responded by saying this, right up here, look at this, in John 1:19. "Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, 'Who are you?' And he confessed," and he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." Look at verse 22. They said to him, "Who are you? that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight for the way of the Lord. So Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus did miracles after miracles after miracles. But as we get into this message, we're gonna really dissect of what he said in Matthew 24, which was written down for us. But here's a little thing that I found when he fed 5,000 men. And there was more than 5,000 men because there was women and children. He did miraculous things. He fed 5,000 and he proclaimed that he was a prophet. Praise God. Praise God. Look at what it says in John right up here. In John chapter 6, verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Look at verse 13 right up here. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said this, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. It was confirmed here. Not only was he the Messiah, but a wonderful, great, and awesome prophet. Peter, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, the epistles, he stood before the Sanhedrin. He testified that Jesus was not only the Son of God, but he was also a prophet. We want to confirm in the beginning of this message that Jesus was a prophet, so that it's in your spirit. So then when we read 24, we'll realize what has taken place then and what's taking place now. And so I found this little clip of Paul the Apostle, that, you know, when that's not him, but he was always confronted by the Sanhedrin. He was always confronted by the scribes and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And so was Jesus. But let's take a look of Paul's encounter with them. It's found right here in the book of Acts. Look at this, in Acts 3:22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear of all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Look at this right here in verse 24. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the son of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So there was a lineage. But the one and final prophet that would be raised up would be the Lord. Look at verse 26 up here. To you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Wow. This was the prophet that Moses spoke of that would be raised up in their day, and also the spirit of prophecy for our day. Hallelujah. And so, saints, Jesus prophesied many things, and one profound prophecy was his death, burial, and resurrection. How many so blessed to know that he rose from the dead? Can I get amen? Amen. If he had not risen from the dead, we would be men and women most miserable. But we have joy now, unspeakable and full of glory. filled with the promises. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're filled now with the Spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. By faith. Can I get an amen? How many is excited about that? Or is just me up here? Be happy. Oh, come on. We have to be happy. Thank you, God. Look what I found in Matthew 20 right here. Look at this. In Matthew 20, 18 through 19. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. He prophesied that. Did that come to pass? Oh, yes, it did. Oh, yes, it did. Or we wouldn't be here today. We would still be in our sin. We would still be in our iniquity. But hallelujah, God raised them up, hallelujah, on that third day. And now we have life and life more abundantly. Come on, somebody give God a shout. This is not the church of the frozen. This is the church of the chosen. Can I get an amen? Come on. Come alive on this one. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. You know, if you truly have Christ in you, the hope of glory, I found this little 30-second little song that resonates in me. And we're going to play it right now. I believe the video's on, right, brother? Okay. It's a small little song that I love to hear. Because when I got saved, it was a glorious day. Was it a glorious day for you? Oh, yeah. Look at this.
Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried me. My sins far away. Rising, he judged.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I mean, what a blessing to know that there are so many songs sung about this event. Do you think they're just singing them just to sing them? No. Because what took place in their hearts, what God did when He saved us, He drove out the darkness and filled us with light. Hallelujah. Filled us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. He delivered us. He set us free. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I ask this question here. How many of you want to be on the Lord's side? So, what I'm going to show you right now is so true on what He said. Because we've been to Israel, my wife and I have been to Israel many times. And one of the places that we go to, I think when you guys came that one time, we went into three different towns that are still rubble. They're open museums. They were thriving towns at one time, but Jesus cursed them. Why did He curse them? Because of their unbelief. They refused to believe who He was. They refused to believe the miracles. They exiled Him out of their towns. They didn't want Him to come into their towns. So He cursed them. And guess what? Those little towns are still around, but it's all rubble. Capernaum's one of them. Look at this. Those are three different towns. Rubble. They're outdoor museums. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I got word to back up when He spoke and when He prophesied. He said, those things will be cursed till this day. And you go there 2,000 years later, they're still cursed. My, my, my. To me, that was evident. Man, wow, what he spoke came to pass. And so turn with me to Matthew 11, and we're going to see this. Look at this. In Matthew 11, 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not what? They didn't repent. You know, God will do a miracle so that you would believe, that you would turn to him. And some people say, I don't care what he did. I'm still going to love my sin. But look what happened here. Look what he says. Don't ever let God say woe to you. Can I get amen? Don't ever let him say woe to you. Because if God says woe to you, you're done. Put a fork in it. Look at this. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Meaning these two older towns, if someone preached the gospel to them, Jesus is saying these towns, like Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. But these ones that he's talking about, Chorazin and Bethsaida, uh-uh. And then he goes on in verse 22, look at this. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. In other words, he's going to send that whole town to hell. What? I know there's churches that want to talk about stuff like this, but it's there in the Word. And Jesus spoke of these things. The one that saved us spoke of these things. Can I get amen? He said, who is exalted to heaven and brought down to Hades? For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. In other words, he would have mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me just say this. It wasn't about the sexual sin and all that. You know what it was? A heart that would not repent. How many people have you ministered to until you were blue? They were, yeah, and they weren't budging. You have to pray for them that they don't remain like that when they take their last breath. Can I get amen? On the last week of his life, he sat with his disciples and he prophesied the current events as well as the events for our day. And this is what it's called, the Olivet Discourse, the coming of the Son of Man, according to Jesus, not according to the other prophets, according to Jesus. Why? Because he was one of the greatest prophets. Can I get amen? Yes, he is. Praise God. And so, let's look at this up here. In Matthew 24, 1 through 2, it says, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And so they're going, look what they built. This glorious city, the temple. But look how Jesus responds. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. He was prophesying the destruction of the temple. This is where they came and they praised God and, you know, and they worshiped God. But what did Jesus had against them? Even some of the rabbis, but the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they were dead inside. He called them vipers of snakes. He told them that they were whitewashed tombs. Why? Because they looked very religious. They had the head garments, they had the robes, but inside they were corrupt and evil-minded. And they didn't care about the people. They didn't care about the homeless. They didn't care about feeding anyone. But they would boast in themselves. Jesus had an ought with that. He had a problem with these kind of folks. Do you know any folks like that? Wow. So look at this. There's the temple up there, and then Jesus prophesied down below photo that it would be destroyed. And guess what day it was destroyed on? The 9th of Av. I pointed it out in your calendar. The 9th of Av. How many is believing Jesus so far? Don't believe what I say. Believe what the word is written up here. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail to you this morning. Can I get an amen? And so Jesus then explains to his disciples in very clear detail in order what will take place in their generation and ours. And he does it all in chronological order. This is what he said. Number one, he said that there would be cults and false Christs. How many do we know of already? You guys remember Jim Jones? Who fed all their people Kool-Aid and killed them all. They followed that man like he was the Messiah. And then how about David Koresh? Remember that guy in Waco, Texas? And then how about the one right up here? I think it was in La Jolla. Yeah. Yeah, Heaven's Gate. Jesus said false Christ would rise up like that. My goodness. Look at this right up here. The cult of death. Follow me. Even time recognized that these were perpetrators of the truth. Wow. Because Jesus said it. He said it best. Look at this. In Matthew 24:5. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Deceive them. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Look what he said in verse 11 right up here. Look at this. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. I'm telling you, the day that we live in, the false prophets are the ones that shake you upside down about 5 times, take 3-4 offerings. And keep shaking you until you run out of there. Help us, God. Help us, God. Oh, yeah, some of them will lock the door. My brother, I won't blast the church. I won't blast the pastor. But I will say that it was in National City. It was in a big church. The pastor came up. It's 2017. I need all of you to write a check for $2,017 because God said to. You know how many checkbooks were coming up? Wow. Wow. Where do you find that in the Word? That's a whole bunch of shenanigans. Help us, God. There's all kinds of prosperity guys flying around in jets, taking money from welfare recipients. Come on. Putting their pennies together. You need to die. Wow. Look at verse 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We're the elect. We've been chosen by God. That's why you need to take heed in the days that we live in. Not everyone on YouTube that you watch is a true prophet. Can I get amen? Be careful. Be careful. Be real careful. Why? Jesus said their leaders would be like wolves in sheep clothing. Look at this. I found this one. They look like a sheep. They go, bah. But they're ravenous wolves on the inside. Wow. You ever had these? The explosion of cults began in the 1900s, starting with these guys. Look at this. The Mormons on the left, and then the Watchtower. You ever got a visit at your door? They look nice. They dress really nice. They come with leather bags. This is how you politely get rid of them. You don't slam the door. You don't say, hey, you know what? Get out of here. I'm already a Christian. No. You say, you know what? Let me open the door. Let's come in and pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, sorry. No, thank you. They're gone. When you say the Holy Ghost and you want to pray with them, they're gone. That's how you politely get rid of them, because they won't come. Uh-uh. Because they've been deceived themselves to deceive others. Oh, that's right. And then the guys on the left are the guys on the 10 speeds. They come to your door, yeah, with white T-shirts, and they say, Elder so-and-so. Yeah. They have to reach their quota. You know, instead of, you know, how we go and share the gospel, we do it because we love Christ. We love God. We want to see people saved. We feed those who are in need of food. Why? Because they have no other means, and God provides to feed them. These folks are totally opposite of that. Jesus, help us. Help us. And then we see this. Sign of world politics. Right now, our nation is divided in half. I said it last week, I'll say it again. I'm sorry, they're sitting on both sides of the camps. There's sin on both sides. And I'll tell you the one major sin that they both embraced. And there's three camps. There's the independent, there's the Democrat, and the Republican. They've all embraced homosexuality. And yet God says that's an abomination. Wow. Come on. You know that's not natural. Come on. If the Holy Ghost is in you, that's not right. You don't even have to read the scripture to show that it's not right. It's just within you. The righteousness of Christ that lives in you says that's not right. It's out of order. That's God made a male and a female. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know, all this gender confusion. God's not confused. Can I get an amen? He's not confused. He made a male and a female. And then he put an exclamation behind that. Done. But there's so much confusion now. Wait for the new bill that's coming out. Don't you agree with it? You know what it is? In California here. The transgender one. Wow. Okay. Lord, help us. Jesus, help us. So a poor little kid who's confused don't have to tell their parents. The school will take care of that abomination. Wow. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. And so right up here, saints, the war that's taking place in the Middle East, You know, you could blame both sides. You could be, well, you know, what about the poor Palestinians? What about what happened to the Israelis? What happened? You know, we can be on both sides of that. But let me just say this. War is of the devil. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Jesus says, I came to bring peace. Wow. Help us, God. Look what he said in verse 6 and 7 in Matthew 24. He said it best, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And when you look at the word nation, and you look at it in the Greek, it's ethnicity. So races of people are turning on each other. Kingdom is a country. Nation is your ethnicity. And let me just say this. I'm going to say this in a cautious way. 40,000 Chinese have crossed the border, all fighting age. And 30,000 from the Middle East have crossed. Are they here to be, to swear in, to be in, to give their life to this country, to be a patriot? No, I look at it like this, and then I'm going to move from that. If you broke the law to get in here, then you're breaking the law everything that you do in here. They're lawbreakers. Come in the right way. Do the process. Fill out an application and come in the right way. I know I'm stepping on someone's toes right now. But the truth is the truth. Do it right. See, you know what? When you find yourself doing right things in life, that's when God blesses your life. When you have a made-up mind, say, you know what? I'm going to honor you, God. I'm going to please you, God. I'm going to do what's right. He will shower down blessings upon your life. Why? Because you're walking in obedience unto him. But the wicked will have their day in court. His court. There'll be a high court. And there won't be no attorneys for them. They'll stand naked before him. Help us, God. Saints, in the 20th century, more than 100 million have died in devastating wars. Thinking of the unthinkable is what? What's the most unthinkable war? A nuclear war. Look at this. Thinking the unthinkable. Time wrote this. Thinking of the unthinkable. Of something of this magnitude is unleashed anywhere. Put it this way, in layman's terms, if one of those was dropped on the naval base here in San Diego, we'd all get wiped out within hours. The immediate area would melt. The radiation would kill the rest within hours. That's how devastating these things are. And we got new submarines throughout our coast now from Russia and China floating around. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Jesus, help us, God. That's what they look like. That's a nuke sub. Seven of them were spotted off the coast of Alaska. You see, it's not in our news clips because our media doesn't want you to know all this. But if you go to the European ones, oh, it's all over. And then the ones that are in Cuba from Russia. Help us, God. We just had a spy balloon from Alaska all the way to the East Coast from China. Do you think they were just having a day, a picnic day? Oh, let's take a picture of this park. Maybe this is where I want to bring my family to. No, it went right over our nuclear bases. Jesus said these things are going to take place. So are you prepared spiritually? Are you prepared? I don't care where you go. East coast, west coast, north, south. When these things drop, there's no place to run but to Christ. And so, then he said there would be, look at this, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be what? Shaken. Jesus said it. That's right. Because he's the greatest prophet. Do you think he was lying here? Do you think, oh, well, maybe, I don't know. Look at this. This is what we fear the most, is one of these. Help us, God. Help us, God. And then he also talked about natural disasters. Natural ones. Oh, that's right. Yes, he did. Look what he said in Matthew 24:7. He said this, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Oh, pestilence. That was COVID-19. It locked down the world. The whole world got it. Jesus said it would. There'll be famines. There's starving people in our own country. Pastor Sherry has a tremendous ministry. She feeds on a weekly basis those who do not have a home. You know, many of us are going to stand before God one day and say, did you feed my people? Did you give them something to drink? Did you go visit them in the hospital? Did you go pray for them? What I love about Pastor Sherry's ministry is she's a doer of the word. Can I get an amen? A doer. I've seen them in action. And I'm so blessed that you came from Ramona to be with us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. And how many of these we've seen? Now, these big old giant hurricanes, those happen on the East Coast. Be praying for you, brother, over there. Let's go on there. Because they come in repeated form. Sometimes one right after another. That was Harvey. This one, where do they get the names? This one's Irma. Alphabetical order, yeah. I'm not going to go there. We can make fun of this stuff here. Saints, let me just say this. Irma is the biggest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic Ocean. And then Jesus talked about these guys. Earthquakes. You know, many people are saying L.A.'s due for a big one. L.A.'s due for a big one. They're going to happen everywhere. But the biggest earthquake that's ever going to take place is when Jesus puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, when he comes back. The whole world, the Bible says the whole world is going to feel the shake and going to feel like a drunkard. The last big earthquake that made me feel seasick was I think it was in 2005. I remember I was at a birthday party, and that thing was just going back and forth, and I get seasick. So if I go deep sea fishing, I got to put the patch, and I could have put this little wristband so I can enjoy myself out in the deep ocean. But when that thing was going back and forth like that, I was seasick. When Jesus comes back, the whole world is going to shake. Wow. Look what he said. He said it best. And there will be what? Great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence. And there will be what? Fearful sights and great signs from heaven. If you want to jot this down, if you're taking notes, April 13th, it's on a Friday, 2029. Oh, yeah. Go to Nassau. There's a meteor the size of New York headed our way. It's called Apophis. And if the trajectory is correct, what Tom Horn had a vision of it. Tom Horn, God woke him up and showed him that it was going to hit on the West Coast. Now, Nassau's not saying nothing. But this is why President Trump came up with Space Force. Why did he come up with Space Force? Because they're going to, when it gets closer, they're going to try to shoot nukes at it and try to blow it up. But that thing's coming. They said that in the final year before it lands or misses us, either or, you'll be able to see it like you see the moon coming right at us. Remember that, 2029, April 13th, Friday the 13th. Wow. Jesus said we would see signs. We would see pestilences, famines, earthquakes. Look at this. He goes on to say this, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. You know what that waves roaring is? The sea? It's a tsunami. You remember Japan tsunami? We were watching that from our television sets. How that water just came and swept that whole city away. And then Sri Lanka, yes. How about Sri Lanka? 100,000 people died. Jesus talked about it. He talked about it. Look at this. Famine. It talks about the famine around the world. Right now, in dire places of Africa, there's so much famine there. It's your heart cries. And then we talked about the earthquakes. But you know what's taking place? Right now as we speak. Let me ask if you know what's happening right now. Because we're not in the tribulation just yet. But what's taking place right now? Before the tribulation. What are they called? Come on, scholars. They're called birth pangs. Birth pangs. Look at all these things that time has said that's taken place. Tsunamis, viruses, which was pandemic. All these things. So these are what? Birth pangs. It's like this. But what, before we get to that birth pang, how many of you... know of people say, yeah, right. We have these all the time. There was this one brother, I won't say his name, but we nicknamed him Brother Know-It-All. He knew it all. You couldn't share anything with, oh, I know that already. And there's a whole bunch of know-it-alls. Look, what else is new? There have always been floods and famines and hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, plagues. strange signs in the heavens. They'll tell you that. Oh, yeah, it's always been like that. They don't realize what Jesus said. They would all come and converge all at once. That we would see them. They're converging. That's what this cat don't see. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at this. In Matthew 24:8, but all these things are merely the beginning of what? Birth pangs. That's what they are. Birth pangs. It's like this. For those of you who have labored in love, carrying your child is like, oh! Some of you don't want to be reminded of this. I know those were probably hard times. So, let's look as we close. As we come in for a close, we need to look at the summary on disasters that Jesus prophesied. Number one, let's look at this. Between October 1991 to July 2024, 9 out of 10 greatest natural disasters as ranked by the insurance costs. And Irma was one of the greatest ones. It was like $10 billion. Not millions. Billions. That's a whole lot of money, isn't it? A whole lot of money. Number two, 5 of the costliest hurricane in history. Now, 6 with Harvey. So Harvey came in second place. Number 3, look at this. 3 of the 4 largest tornado swarms in U.S. history, all this before Katrina in 20. Remember Katrina? Katrina? Remember that? How many remember Katrina? Do you guys know the history of that? Do you know why that formed? Huh? Do we know why that formed? Wow. Real quickly, I'll give you just a little history on that Katrina thing. We were in Israel in 2004. Pastor Leo Giovanetti took 50 of us. We went down into Gaza. We were in a metal bus. Even the skirts of the bus covered the tires in case someone shot at us. So we had to go through Gaza to get to Gush Katif, a kibbutz. What is a kibbutz? It's like a little village, a town, where maybe 2,000 people live, tops. It's called a kibbutz. They got a little mayor. They have everything they need to run a small little town. We went down there, and we weren't scared. And praise God, no rocks were thrown at us. No bullet shots, no nothing. But when we got there, they knew we were coming, and we went 2x2s into their homes. And all we did was have coffee and tea with them. We could only preach the gospel if they asked why we were there. We couldn't just be an evangelist to them. We had to honor that. They took us out to their backyards, and we saw the Scud missiles, shells, that they would send from Gaza and almost hit their houses. There were shells in their backyard. We went up and touched one. Scud missiles. They were called Scud missiles at the time. And on our last day there, there was a little park, and the mayor was there. And Pastor Leo said, he told his son-in-law to go on the bus and bring out his checkbook. He wrote them a check for $50,000 and blessed them. And we were going, wow, that's a generous gift. And Pastor Lee goes, I don't know why I'm supposed to do this, but I have to do this. So he gave him the 50 grand. The next year, 2005, Yolanda and I, my brother and his wife, we were in Palm Springs at a marriage retreat. You don't want to go there in the summer. It's 115. It was so hot. You can't go swimming. The pool was like 90. You had to stay indoor. And guess what was on the television? Guess what was on the television? Ariel Sharon, the Prime Minister, and President Bush brokered a deal. It was called Land for Peace. They went down to Gush Katif and were pulling all the inhabitants, all the residences. They were yanking them out of their home and told them to vacate. And there were wives hanging on to the side of their doors screaming, don't remove us. God put us here. They didn't care. And so they had to go to the graves and dig up their dead because they knew that the Palestinians were going to desecrate their graves. They had to take their dead with them. So they had to undig the coffins and take it with them. They became vagabonds. They didn't have a home. And now we knew why Pastor Leo left them 50 grand to help sustain them. And as soon as the last one was drug out, within an hour, because it was live, CNN, they had cameras, helicopters watching this whole event. It was live. Within less than an hour, a storm just came out of nowhere in the Gulf of Mexico. It became one of the largest hurricanes recorded, and it went on New Orleans and flooded that whole place. And guess what that flood did? It loosened all the coffins in the graves, and they were floating down the river. It was eye for an eye. You did this to me, God said, I will do this to you. And if you read a book called Eye to Eye by William Koenig, he has over 1,100 documented events that God does remedial judgment to this nation when we come against Israel. Immediately. This is why we need to pray for Israel. Can I get amen? We need to pray for our beloved Israel. Why? Why does the devil hate them so much? Because Jesus is coming back to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Our Messiah. He's a Jew. I hope you know that. You know that your God, our Messiah, who saved us, is a Jewish rabbi. And he's coming to save. He's coming back again. Jesus, help us. Help us. We're almost done. You want to keep going? Huh? Can I keep going? I got a little bit more. Number four, look at this. Christian persecution. It's everywhere now. Look at this. Jesus wrote it. Look at right now in Iran. If you preach the gospel, they will hang you publicly. So the underground church is growing leaps and bounds. But if they're caught, they take them out to the open square and they hang them publicly. But it's coming. It's coming here. It's coming here. Did you know that we're enemies right now to the agenda of this state?
Yes, we are.
We're enemies. We're enemies to their woke ideology. They don't want to hear Jesus. They don't want you to bring Bibles in schools. They don't want you to preach. They have removed the name of Jesus. And that's why we see what we see now. We have raised up a woke generation. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's what Jesus said. Don't get mad at me. 200,000 Christians have been killed in our generation. Europe has left Christianity and is turning Muslim. Never think that that book that they read is a good book. It's a satanic book. There's 40 plus surahs. Surah is a scripture to us. You know how we have scriptures? They have surahs. And there's over 40 in their Quran that says this: find the Christian, find the infidel, find the Jew, and behead them, lest they convert. Is that a happy book? Is that something to embrace? No. No. And so, this used to be all of Europe used to be a Christian countries. And what did we see in the Olympics in the opening ceremonies? The opening ceremony in Paris was all transgenders. Lord, help us. Jesus said there would be an apostasy. You know what apostasy means? It means people will leave the faith. Just know the time we live in. People would rather run of that lie than to be under the anointing of God. I don't get it, do you? Because that's what he talked about. He talked about the apostasy that would happen. Look at this. He said it best. Jesus said it. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. You know, you try to minister to a backslider, they will spit at your face. Oh, yes. When they fall away good. I had an own relative get in my grill who fell away. I won't blaspheme up here. But cursed me out. Walking with God for like 17 years and then backslid and cursed me out and he wanted to knock me out. Jesus said that would happen. And he's so true. He said it would happen in our day. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. Look at this. The persecuted church. Apostasy of the church. Anyone subscribe to Lamplighter? Really good magazine. It talks about the persecuted church around the world. And look at this. Declining membership from 1960 to 2024. Look at all these denominations, how they're losing all congregants now. And then it's boiled down to this, what you're going to see right up here. The Episcopal Church, you know, they have bishops, right? And his husband. Bishop Gene Robinson was the first homosexual that was ordained by the Episcopal Church USA on November 3rd, 2003. Is that what it says? This is the day that we live in. You're not going to get this information at your local church. They won't tell you this stuff. Why? Because I don't want to offend nobody. I don't care. I don't care if you don't come back next week. I'll preach to the angels. But Jesus said these would happen in our day and time. And it's happening in real time right before us. Help us, God. Wow. We see this. The breakdown of society. Our society is broken down. This is why we need a Holy Ghost-filled church. We need to show the world hope. In the city of Ramona, where you come from, you know there's only one Holy Ghost-filled church there left? And that's Pastor Sherry. The rest are all seeker-friendly up there. And there's a whole bunch of them. Well, they gather. But you can't operate in the Holy Ghost. You can't operate in the prophetic. You can't. They won't. They call you a lunatic or they call you a heretic. Wow. You know, basically, they don't want the power of God in their church to transform them, to change them from darkness to light. That's the bottom line. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Jesus said it best. Look at this in 24:12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We live in a lawless. You ever seen on the news the smash and grabbers? There's like 25 of them going into a shopping mall, raiding the jewelry shop, taking bats and taking jewelry, and none of them get arrested. And they all run out. Lawlessness. Man. When I was a kid, I lived on Orange Street, National City. There was a little liquor store around, or market, called Lester's Country Corner. I was always wanting to take a pack of gum. But I was so scared. At least I had a conscience as a kid. There's no conscience no more. Can I get amen? There's not. It's lawless. And the government has allowed it. Yolanda and I, we were down at the San Ysidro. What's that? It's an outlet. Yeah. And so we were at the Nike outlet, and we were looking at some shoes, and a young man came in with a backpack. He put three pairs of shoes in his backpack, put it on, and then he just walked out. I said, aren't you going to stop him? Oh, no. We're told once they leave the door, we got to let them go. I go, so I can put this underneath my arm and walk out, right? Well, you could. It's like, wow. What have we come down to? Here we are. We're working hard to pay our bills. And these people come in here and just take. Lawlessness. Jesus said it best. Look at this. He said it best. But as the days of Noah were, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man be. So he already said it best. It's going to be like the days of Noah and also of the days of Lot. And this is what's been ruling and governing our nation. And it's done wickedly. It's the porno plague and people killing each other for no reason. No one wants to talk about the one on the left there. But that has plagued a whole lot of good people. They get trapped in it. And they try to keep it secret. Yet, you know what? God will expose it one day. He'll expose it. Whatever is done in the dark, He will bring to the light. Especially if you're one of His children. Can I get an amen? And so, America has been one of the hugest immoral polluters in the world. We need to pray for this nation. We're so ripe. This nation is so ripe for judgment because we've gone astray. We've gone astray. Pray for our nation. Because we need the preaching of the gospel. The gospel needs to be preached. Jesus said it best. He said this, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Praise God. Praise God. And here is where you can say, okay, here's where the end starts now, the beginning of the end. We can point now to that day where now the clock is ticking and He's going to be soon returned. Is when Jesus talked about this. Look at this. And then I'm going to show you. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you will know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at" where? "The door." Look at this. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." All the things we talked about. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So you can point to right here. This is the time clock now, right up here, when Israel became a nation in one day. In 1948, all the Old Testament prophets said that they will be gathered. Remember, they were scattered for how many years? Well over 2,000 years. They were scattered all over the world. And all of them, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, said in one day they will become a nation in one day. And they won't be two nations. There won't be Israel and Judah no more. It'll be one nation. And in 1948, they became a nation. That lets us know that it's soon, very soon, Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. How many can't wait for that? Huh? How many can't wait for that? In one nation. One nation, they came in one day. I didn't have time to do all the nations, but the message is this. Jesus is returning soon. How many believe that? We're living on borrowed time. And the King is soon to come. And we are so blessed. Pastor Andre, you want to come up and whatever God puts on your heart? Jesus. Thank you, God. I just feel led by the Lord to pray for us as a church. That even though we see these things that Jesus said, that we are not to fear these things, but to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. and God will watch over us. God will bless you. God will protect us. How many believe that God is with us? And if God be for us, who could be against us? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Father, I pray for each and every one of us in here. Hallelujah. Father, let your light shine so bright within us. Knowing, oh God, that these things that you spoke of are right before us now. Lord, keep us in your perfect will. Keep us strong and mighty in the power of your might. Help us lay aside every weight and sin that would so easily beset us. And let us press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. God, give us the strength to endure. Give us the power, O God, that we too can do great and mighty things like you said we would do. Oh God, let us lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Let us minister to the homeless. And Lord, when it appears that food has ran out, that you would multiply it right then and there. Just like you did with the fragments in the basket. Father, I pray, God, those who are battling physically right now, emotionally, spiritually, Lord, that you would be the lifter of our head. Lord, that you would be the healer. Lord, that you would lift afflictions and diseases from us, oh God. That you would help us, Lord. For you are the great I am. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're from everlasting to everlasting, for you are God. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love toward us. Thank you, oh God. In the name of Jesus. And I want to pray right now. Pray right now. Brother, are we still online? I got nothing here. I want to pray for those right now that are watching on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you haven't given your heart to the Lord. Brother, if you want to hit that button, live sermon over there. Live sermon on the deck stream. To the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enter into a beautiful covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout. Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Yes, he is.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.